The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, thanking you for your support once again. So, we are on the inroads towards the end of the season and carrying on the theme that we've established a little bit earlier, interviewing some skiers and getting their assessment of how their season has gone. We introduce Brooke Baldwin to the TWBC podcast for the very first time. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. So let's go right from the very beginning of the beginning of this season. You had a pretty good off season. You were kind of fighting fit a little bit coming into the season, which wasn't always the case.
Yeah, so I kind of didn't really start deciding that I was going to ski till kind of after Masters, after watching everybody ski. And I was like, okay, maybe I should kind of get back into it again. And then my first tournament was Monaco, which I ended up skiing good. I ended up getting on the podium, which I haven't gone on the podium in a while. So that was a good start to the season.
Okay, so let's kind of step back a little bit before Monaco, and let's try and explore a little bit deeper as to what typically occupies your time aside from skiing, because you were trying to get everything set to take the MCAT, isn't that right?
Yep, so I took the MCAT, and right now I'm in the middle of applying to medical school. So as everybody knows, that is a in the medical field, it's a very long process and it takes about a year to figure it out. So I started working on my application in about April or so, April, May, submitted it, and I could technically not hear back till like next April. So we're just kind of waiting and seeing. But in the meantime, I'm enjoying skiing and having fun with all my friends and getting back doing the sport I love.
Okay, so let's go back to the period after the Masters. I think you visited Callaway Gardens, didn't you, in support of Louis Duplan Freiberg, right?
Yes, I went and supported Louis and the rest of the family, and it was just really motivating once again to like see everybody skiing so good and having so much fun on Robin Lake. And that was kind of my turning point of like, okay, maybe I'm a little bit tired of watching and I want to start skiing and being with all my friends again.
Okay, so the first tournament beyond that point, I think, was Morocco, wasn't it? Or was it Monaco beforehand?
It was Monaco, right off the bat, yeah.
talk about jumping out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, that was kind of abrupt, to be honest, because I didn't really start skiing until I got to France. And I got to France/Italy in like May 31st. So I had maybe like one or two sets before leaving, and I brought all my stuff and was like, okay, well, I signed up for the tournament and people let me in. So I was just like happy to genuinely be there. But I was quite sore. I was not used to slalming sometimes twice a day at that point, but I really had a great time.
It's like someone dumping a whole bunch of Legos on your lap and say, okay, you've got the pieces, let's build this.
Yeah, let's build a whole house, but you have all the pieces. Like, I knew how to ski and what to do, but like your body sometimes, if the conditions are a little bit rough or something, I wasn't as prepared as I was even now, just having time on the water.
Okay, so kind of give me an idea of how you placed after Monaco before we went over to Morocco.
So what was between that? So I got third at Monaco. And then we had a little bit of time. To be honest, the summer was a bit of a blur. There was a lot of tournaments.
For a lot of people, that's the case.
Yeah, a little bit of a blur. I had, like I said, had not done tournaments in like maybe 2 years or so. And then all of a sudden, I had one every single weekend. So I was just kind of keeping going, the rhythm, just trying to get ready for, I needed to qualify for Worlds, so I needed to try to get a score decent enough to qualify.
So your dance card was kind of full at that point.
Yeah, completely. It was up to like the last day, like the 60-day limit, and I was like, okay, for tricking at least. Slalom, I was able to get it sooner, but it was, I'd not really experienced that before.
Okay, yeah, getting back into swing of things, always quite hard to do. So after Monaco, you went to Morocco, didn't you? You competed in the slalom and the tricks event. You know, what was that experience like on the Bourregueg River?
Yeah, that was quite something. I truly had an amazing time at the tournament itself. We were treated like kings and queens, royalty. Which was royalty at the very least. So it was really fun to do that. That was my first trick tournament. So I was just pretty much just hanging on for dear life, just going through my trick run. Tricking went better for me than slalom, but yeah, I genuinely, this whole summer, every time I went to the tournament, my mindset towards skiing is very different because I'm focusing on my school and skiing is like the fun part of my life. So being able to go and do that is like, I'm just excited every time I'm on the water.
What was the whole vibe in Morocco like for someone like you walking up and down the souks and the various shops going in and out of the city of Rabat? You know, because you know, out of all the things that those folks typically see, they don't see a blonde, you know, heavily muscular,
blonde hair, blue eyed. Yeah, not too common. Luckily, I was with Louis' family quite a bit, so that was really fun. But
being able to speak French kind of helps.
Yeah, a little bit of French is always good. But I had my bodyguard Louis with me, so I was just fine. Yeah.
Excellent. So did you pick up any good souvenirs from there?
Yes, I'm trying to remember what I got. We got some like little oils and some little
some incense, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff that it's really hard to bring back to the US, but I enjoyed it while I was in Italy. Yeah.
Okay, so after that, another first tournament in Portugal, right?
Yeah, so at that point, I wasn't originally planning to do Portugal. I was going to give myself a little bit of a break, a weekend break to just kind of chill. But I ended up deciding to go because it was such like a good opportunity to be there and being like just supporting the tournament as a whole. So I had fun there. I ended up tricking okay, but my slalom, not quite what I wanted to do, but I'm trying to remember. I genuinely just was having a good time.
Okay, so the tricks were on song. Tricks tends to be typically the first thing that goes when you don't practice it an awful lot, but it was seemingly an event that you seem to be quite comfortable with at least for the first few tournaments, right?
Yeah, I would just say I thought about it more as like a roller coaster kind of thing, especially with the flips. I just kind of was just focusing on what I needed to do. Toes, I struggled a little bit more because with my knee and stuff, the part of my knee is still numb on the side and I'm struggling with some uncomfortableness with that. So the toes was a little bit uncomfy. I have to have another surgery in November. So I'm hoping after that, it's going to be like brand new, golden.
Hopefully everything goes fine. We're conducting this interview over at the Bushnell Motorsports Park in a nice little conference room with a whole bunch of people on go-karts outside. You know, that's a pretty neat experience here at the Travers Grand Prix. But moving on from Portugal, you ski pretty well there from what I recall. You know, how was that vibe? You know, because it was the first time for most of us who've never visited Portugal before.
Yeah, I had never been there, obviously, but it was really nice. Like, I stayed with Neely and her mom, and we stayed on the beach, and we just kind of, like, went to the lake, skied. The water was super cool. It was really hot outside, but we all had our little floats, and we were all floating in the lake between our sets, and, yeah, it was a really great tournament, a great event.
Okay, and I think at this point you kind of broke away from Europe. I think you went to, did you go to Botas the next time, next one?
Yep, yep. I went to all of them. I was not planning on it, but I went to Botas. I was actually really, I had been to Botas before, just watching Louis, but this was my first time competing, and I was able to trick and slalom. As I remember. And slalom ended up being really good. I ended up getting on the podium again. I got third. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit shocked, but I was really happy. I haven't done a head-to-head in a while like that. So my stamina for slaloming at that point was getting better. It wasn't quite where I needed it to be, but I'm very proud of myself with what I was able to do.
So your confidence level was certainly elevated after Botas, and obviously the World Championships was still quite a ways off from that time. But you still had some other tournaments beyond Botas. I don't think you didn't go to the San Gervasio, did you? No.
I did go to the San Gervasio.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but that one, it wasn't my tournament, but that's okay. I had a...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it wasn't my tournament. That was another one where I was going to take a weekend break. I ended up doing, like, I don't know, however many weekends in a row without stopping, and was, like, training 3 days a week. So that one should have been maybe a rest weekend, but that's okay. Can't ski good at all of them, so...
Indeed, that's a great perspective to have going forward. So after San Gervasio, I think you went to some tournaments purely to watch, because obviously you couldn't ski in the European Open, or you're certainly aged out of the O21s. Although you probably look like someone who could be in under 21s, I do have to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of those tournaments, you're there in support of Louis. And the European Open Championships being, I think, one of the first of them over in Linz in Austria, right?
Yep, exactly. I ended up, Louis went a little bit earlier, and I stayed in, trained in Italy at the PKB Center. And then right when finals came, I decided to fly up there for a little weekend in Linz and to go support him and his brother. So I really enjoyed being able to go and watch that. I spend more time with the European crowd than I do the American crowd at this point, just being with Louis and staying in Europe most of the summer. So
you've kind of adapted.
Enjoyed that. Yeah, completely. And I mean, who doesn't love French and Italian food?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
The best.
Absolutely. If you ever get an opportunity to go. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you said you based yourself out of PKB, right?
Yes. Yep. We were staying there the whole summer. So I flew into France, but I ended up being in Italy the whole summer, and I was able to really get to know Kiko and Nicola and their families, and they really just treated me like family, and I miss them every day. We still talk to this day, and hopefully I see them in November when they come, but really they, like, without getting a little emotional, they really pushed me to be so confident in my skiing and really just push me to believe in myself, and were such a positive influence on my skiing throughout the summer.
Okay, so let's go fast forward here from this point onwards. You've got you didn't go back stateside at all. You know, you didn't go to the California Pro or any of the tournaments that were going there. Certainly not the Nationals. I think you kind of tire of the dusty air in Bakersfield. As nice as it is, but I think your days of skiing and all of that are probably long past.
I don't know. I think Bakersfield always has a little bit of a special place in my heart, because it was actually my first Nationals when I was 5. So, but I have not been there since, I believe. Maybe one other time when I was younger. But I think definitely if I was already in the U.S. and the Worlds were not in Italy, I think I probably would have, like, considered going more. Like, I do obviously enjoy it. But it was kind of a lot for me to just go from Italy back to California, and Louis was going to Canada just for one weekend. It's not the most smart thing to do, so no. I ended up just deciding to stay in Italy and train. And
Okay.
Get ready for Worlds.
Yeah, you had your base in Italy, which was great because the World Championships were in Italy. So nice run into that competition. So how did training go for that?
Yeah, training was really good. I ended up skiing with Louis and Ricchetto right before he ended up going to California. So I got some sets in there. I will say that the water was very different in the beginning of summer versus when Worlds came. It was a lot colder in the beginning and then quite a bit warmer in the end. But
did you have to make any adjustments to equipment or what have you to compensate or no?
I actually ended up, Louis brought me a slalom ski back from Will Bush, a D3, and I completely changed my ski for Worlds and everything. That other ski is still in France, I believe. But yeah, so I ended up completely changing slalom ski, is completely different settings, and it definitely gave me a lot more confidence in my skiing. And yeah, I was just excited for Worlds at that point.
Okay, first round eliminations. How did that go?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, that went good. I believe I got, oh, that's what it was, right inside three ball. I thought I got a round three. I didn't get a round three, but that's okay. I got 2-3. As a lefty, it's important for me to not just like scooch around two ball, kind of like what I did today, but to like get to three. And I was really happy with myself to get to three, but I was hungry for more, definitely.
And you performed well in tricks, didn't you?
Yes. So my two goals for my goal for tricking was to just stand up both passes. And that's what I did. It looks a little rough around the edges, but I was just hanging on.
Hanging on for dear life.
Yeah,
but managing to prevail and making it through to the finals, right?
Yeah, that was a little bit shocking because last Worlds I didn't trick. And this Worlds, I obviously did. I tricked and slalom, and I was able to make the finals in both. So I was really a little bit surprised, but genuinely happy. And like the work during the summer paid off.
All right, then. So final round for both. How did each one go? Starting with
tricks.
Tricks.
8 a.m. bright and early. Mm-hmm. Definitely do not trick that early or ski that early on a daily basis. So I was not quite the most awake for my toe pass at 8:05 o'clock in the morning, but that's okay. I managed to kind of get through it. And then my hand pass on the way back, it was good. I stood up and I was just happy to stand up. That was my goal. I didn't really have a number in mind of what I wanted to do. That was just my goal.
All right, then. So going on to tricks, slalom.
Slalom. So slalom, I was a little bit nervous, but I was like, I got myself pretty amped up. I was pretty excited. I was skiing good at PKB and just like feeling significantly more confident in my skiing after changing skis and like just learning how to trust myself and be confident again. And I thought I had it, but I ended up getting, I thought I got around it, but I ended up running it over four ball at 39. Mm-hmm. I had a really nice start at one, and I just like kept going. I think I got a little bit excited at three ball, and then just managed to scooch over four.
Okay, so anyway, let's go back a little bit. The ski that replaced the one that you started off with the season. I mean, what was really different in it, about it? Was there any aesthetic qualities of that ski that you noticed right off the bat, or was it rocker, or was it a little stiffer? Or
to be honest, I'm not exactly sure the technical side of it, but I just know that as soon as I got on the ski, that I felt way more stable and that I was able to control my turns way more and was able to get wider a lot easier. My old ski, I was using it for quite a long time, and I had it before my knee surgery, and it wasn't working quite as well after I did my knee, just because it was a little bit more stiff and yeah, I just wasn't feeling good on it. So I think that really played into my confidence part in the beginning of the year.
So as your body evolved into something more conducive to what you were trying to achieve out there on the water, this new ski was more complementary in that regard.
Yes, exactly. I definitely felt way more just genuinely stable. I couldn't find the word that I was needing. And then someone was like, is stable the word you're looking for? And I was like, yep, exactly. Stable. We love stability. We want just to be confident in our skis whenever we get in a tough position or if the conditions are not the best, to be able to just like hang on and trust the ski and like keep moving.
All right. So as we move along beyond the World Championships, the first competition, pro competition back, Mastercraft Pro, right?
No, so we actually...
No, you actually didn't ski in that one, right?
Nope. We ended up having to go back to France for the weekend. So we didn't... We were planning on it, but we ended up having to skip that one. But yeah, I've only slalomed maybe two times since Worlds. I ended up taking a little bit of a break when I came back to Florida and just trying to get everything back together after being gone all summer. So... yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, and tomorrow is going to be the second day of action here at the Travers Grand Prix. So how did things get situated after round one for you?
I'm just hoping that I go down to the dock earlier because today I was a little bit borderline close to missing my set. I was just a little bit slow. So tomorrow I'm definitely going to go down to the dock a little bit earlier, warm up, get the blood flowing, and yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow. I've had so much fun go-karting. I was able to do three rounds. Someone let me go. I'm nervous about the shooting. Not a big gun person, so I don't... That'll be interesting.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that as we wrap up this edition of the TWBC podcast with Brooke Baldwin. Anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to say thank you, Tony, for having me and to all of the people that love and support me continuously and that the people that have made this summer so special and so nice and have helped me get back into it.
All right, then, and that concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. Great to have you on board. And until the next episode, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.